Sava, welcome to RFI.
Thank you so much.
You founded a band called the Nubatones. It's a great name, but what's it about?
My drummer and my bandmate, Rami Al-Asad, is actually the one who came up with the name. Nubatones is kind of a play on words between Nubia and tones, like colors of it.
What are the colors of Nubia?
Well, I think it depends on the person, but for me, they seem to have a lot of desert sounds.
That you're making Nubian music in any way?
I prefer to call it East African retropop because we don't make strictly Nubian music. I really don't. I think my music is a reflection of all the different parts of me. And that includes Nubia, that includes Khartoum, that includes my love for music in Zanzibar, that includes my love for Nairobi, that includes my love for Cairo, that includes all of that East African sound. The inspiration of the project was the songs of Return, or Aghani Al-Awda. From there we've built up, and now we are at our second album with Manara.
A word about these songs of Return, for people who really don't know where Nubia is. It's part of northern Sudan, southern Egypt, this region around the Nile.
Absolutely.
But what are the songs of Return?
Well, the songs of Return is a body of songs that sort of sprung into being in the late 60s and early 70s, around the same time as the High Dam was built in southern Egypt, which caused one of the largest displacements of Nubian people in their history. It caused a mass migration of people that went into Cairo, into Khartoum, into various other cities around the Arab world. And in Cairo, a lot of musicians sort of started writing songs that were themed around the idea of going home, or the idea of a home that doesn't exist anymore, these concepts of nostalgia. And me being an immigrant also, I could really relate to it on every level, not just being Nubian, but also having another immigration experience with it.
Because you were born in Khartoum, then you left to live in Yemen when President Omar al-Bashir came to power. And then when the civil war broke out in Yemen, you ended up leaving and moving to New York, where you still live. How much of that experience do you bring into your music?
I mean, all of it, I think. I think this kind of an experience, it shapes who you are and your personality, and as a result, your music will be reflective of that.
Brought out your second album, Manara.
Yeah.
What does Manara mean?
Manara means the lighthouse. The concept of the album is the idea of this journey that we're on, the idea of being in transit and transitioning. Being a migrant is a journey. Ya Manara shatir anarsaf billayun.
To one track, it's called Ya Khatan, which is the single from this album. What's it talking about?
The song, I think, is sort of like a meditation on the way a lot of our loyalties can sometimes be misplaced, loyalties towards institutions, towards borders. What do we do when this loyalty is really holding us back, when our humanity is being affected and being damaged? What do you do? Do you stay and die with it, or do you move on in search of water and a better life? Not really an answer to anything, mostly like a question. You know, when we're talking about the current situation with the refugees, it's there's a lot of failure of all these institutions in respecting people's humanity and the need to have safety and life.
Your your parents were human rights activists, right? You've continued that tradition to a certain extent through your music.
I guess, yeah. I don't really think of myself as an activist, to be really honest. I think I'm just an artist, and art is usually like a mirror reflecting what happens. And as my body is usually the intersection of a lot of politics, it's my commentary ends up being political, whether I like it or not.
Let's listen to another song. It's called Ayan Taban.
Ayan Taban.
And this song was given to you when you visited a refugee camp.
So you can hear them in the beginning of the song talking while they were trying to decide, because they have a whole body of songs that they write. Everybody there seems to write a lot of music. So they were choosing which ones they wanted to teach me. Three wonderful little girls, Muna and her friends, while I was interviewing them and other people in the Yusuf Batil refugee camp.
Where is that?
It's in an area called Maban between North Sudan and South Sudan, and it's kind of it is home now to almost 100,000 people who are the latest wave of refugees coming from the Blue Nile area and the Nuba Mountains, where a lot of the bombing and fighting has been happening since 2011 in that region. So I went out there with Hajar Chukuka to collect songs and to speak to people, and these girls wrote the song and they taught it to me, and I really wanted to make an arrangement of it on our album as an ode to them.
So when you go into a situation like that, do you once more feel very Sudanese, or do you feel that now you're an American citizen?
It's really complicated to say what it means to be an American citizen. It's complicated to say what it means to be Sudanese. I always say that I was born Sudanese and I'm going to die Sudanese. And in between, we're negotiating all these things. And I can be Sudanese and I can be a New Yorker at the same time. I don't think one negates the other. So I never really feel like I am not Sudanese or like I'm not American. I just don't feel like I am a typical manifestation of either.
You're not typical, you don't have a typical look either for people who can't see you, and it's such a shame. You've got amazing hairstyle, shaved head that was sort of shaved into a pattern, and mm-hmm. then your hair piled up at the top. You have a distinctly modern look, Al Saha.
Well, I'm a distinctly modern creature. I feel like I'm a child of the diaspora. We're cosmopolitan people that live in a global world. So it's natural that you look like the environment you want to reflect.
Make of this East African sound? Do they understand it?
I found them interestingly very open to it. I think a lot of people are open to the idea of any music. Is one of those things where like it allows people to come in with an open heart, I think. And because you spend so much time listening, it allows you to be more accepting. So I've been lucky so far, and the people that are interested are very interested and willing to learn. And the people who are not interested are not interested. That's okay too.
Al-Saha, which track shall we play out on?
Why don't we play out on Arus al-Nil? Arus al-Nil. The Bride of the Nile, and it's inspired by a traditional song from Aghani al-Banat, girls' music. And for me, it's always also evoked another myth that's in the Nubia area. And this is a really playful song for me. It also brought up this old myth about in Nubia, we used to say that the Nile would flood up every season because the Nile gods were angry and lonely. And so the villages along the banks would sacrifice the most beautiful maiden to be the new bride of the Nile. And I always found the story hilarious, first of all, because if you meet Nubian women, you know that's not going to happen because we don't get dumped into rivers. But more than that, it also made me wonder. I was like, so if the Nile God gets a new wife every season, what happens to the old wives? Where do they go? And then I thought maybe they just kind of swim away and live in these matrilineal kingdoms underneath the sea. And maybe that's where mermaids really come from. So maybe Nubian people also gave you mermaids.
Thanks so much for joining us, Al-Sahar.
Thank you.